Hey, well, it is the Ragged Edge radio broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. Glad you're here tonight. We are on this major training, Volume 3, Spiritual Warfare. That's, listen, every ounce of spiritual warfare teaching empowers, strengthens. Session 4, Spiritual Warfare, the arrival, presence, work, words of Jesus of Nazareth.
Would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
So as you think about it tonight, this the arrival 700 years prior out of Isaiah, it's all about God in human flesh coming to engage us. God so loved the world. Well, we also have this. The Son of God appeared to destroy the devil's works. That appearance, that incarnation involves the destruction of the one that brought the human race down, who's leading that human race into, devastations as never before seen in human history. You know that? Hey, tonight, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, this is Russ Dizdar. I think Mary had some insight that the angel did engage her and tell her. It was the Spirit of God that moved on her conception, incarnation, Emmanuel. This is just amazing. If the rulers of this age would have understood, didn't that say that in the book of Corinthians? They never would have crucified this, Son of God, the Savior. Tonight, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, this is Russ Dizdar. Glad you're here. Welcome, Belleville, Pennsylvania, Big Valley, everywhere. Well, listen, Pennsylvania, great state, beautiful places, so many good people we know. It's not as though we're picking on that state at all. Not at all. We've been drawn in for years and years. Now, we're all over and have been around the world somewhat, and we're going to go as God leads, as God guides, like in the book of Acts. Hey, Ragged Edge Radio Broadcast, behind all this, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. Now, when you do go there, you're going to see some of the things that are occurring, and I want you to know about the conferences. So if you go to shatterthedarkness.net, just scroll down a little bit. There's a slideshow showing a bunch of stuff. There's a small little like poster up. You see, PennsylvaniaHasASecret.com. PennsylvaniaHasASecret.com. Now, in that, there's a Fed poster. There's Sandusky. There's, a wizard. There's Josh Shapiro. There's Buggies. There's a skeleton. Hey, want to ask those in Belleville, are there any bodies buried on the mountain? Any bodies buried on the mountainside? As we continue to move into Belleville and the surrounding areas, we talk again to victims, to friends on the ground, and, relatives of the victims. No, I'm pretty astounded about all of it because the depth of the, incest, rape, pedophilia that involves generations and generations that clearly has even affected the genetic structure. We're going to talk about that down the road also as we do a part two. Not tonight. Tonight is session 4, Spiritual Warfare, Volume 3. Now, the workbook, if you're listening live right now here in February, the workbook is not out yet. We're developing that as it goes. Book of Acts is going to be pumped out really soon. And the good news about that great chapter-by-chapter, huge study, that's going to be a separate thing. You'll be able to go to shatterthedarkness.net, scroll down. You'll just click on the icon where it says Acts, A-C-T-S. And when you do, that takes you to a page where every Friday you will be able to see the new audio, all done in studio, the audio teaching MP3s. They'll be up every single week. You'll be able to get your workbook in advance. We're not going to start the audios until that's out. And once that is out, once that study goes on, we're going to do quite a bit. Probably, I don't know if it's going to be 50, 60, 70 hours. And it's going to involve, you know, boots on the ground and the evangelism and what we see in Acts chapter 8. It's going to link then to the big new website called 10 Million Fierce. And that's all about just a prayer, just an inspiration to influencing millions of believers around the world to become the powerhouse God intended you. And the ultimate end, well, what if there were in your city thousands just like Philip in Acts 8? Or in your nation, tens of thousands just like Philip in Acts chapter 8. Well, that's going to be the goal that we have in training, in an ultimate training, because really, truly, those kind of God-filled, God-guided, God-empowered servants, well, they are the powerhouses. It's not about just shaping history. It's about that. It's about the salvation that God has brought. It is about the healing and deliverance and work, and well, it's involving, listen, evangelism, the mission of God. It obviously involves the greatest war of all. It's a spiritual war. The behind the scenes nations and militaries and all the rest, New World Order, troops of Antichrist, the Antichrist, all of that is in development, is rising, and we're going to have a day in which it all comes out. Now, in the context of all that, what is our job? Not just to clench our fingers together and hide in a basement. That's the absolute opposite of what God intends. We're to be on the field of human history, seeing and seeing the greatest harvest. That means the greatest numbers, because God is not willing that anyone would perish. Not you. And thank God, not me. I was listening to that song earlier, Mary, Did You Know? I can't tell you. I can listen. It brought me to great joy, great, weeping, and just a tremendous time in Christ. I think it goes good with this. We're gonna leave you at the end of this broadcast with a different song, but I want you to hear right now that we're going to be in Dallas in about a month, a little over a month. And the conference there, we're going to be in Hickory, North Carolina, in a little over a month in April. We're going to be in Canton, Ohio, mid-April with Coach Dave Dobmeier and others here. And we're going to be, we'll be all over Pennsylvania. We'll be in other aspects of the things that we're going to get done. But a big spiritual warfare conference, heavy, heavy training. Is in Long Island this end of May and the first couple days of June. All of the conferences, including Lima, Ohio, probably one of the hugest as far as numbers of speakers, and that's Dr. Mike Spaulding sponsoring that, go there for. All of that is up, and then the International Conference on Satanic Ritual Abuse next October. Now, I'll be in Georgia, and I'll be in other places, and we're trying to, there are some that we're going to not be able to go to. We're trying to pull back, obviously, because we're so behind on other things. Books that need to be out now. Book of Acts that should have been out over a year ago, but that's okay. It's in the timing. It's in the timing as far as what needs to be done. But I got to say to all those who are writing in, I do want you to know that it is hard to get to everybody all the time. So just keep hanging on. I am grateful for that. And we will, I give some names, a few, to our lead counselor, Sherry Clausen, and others. And I will try to get to all of them myself. But it is difficult, and it's only based on the physics of time. We need more time. Well, now, if we could put another 10, another 100, and again, but what I mean by that is powerful servants who have a great, deep relationship growing deeper in Christ, powerful and growing powerful in prayer, powerful and effective in soul winning and evangelism, in the praying for the healing of lives, body and emotion and mind, deliverance and dealing with the demonic side, and who can help out, maybe give some shoes, maybe give a place to live, maybe help with that. Now that's all I know as far as training. If I was ever guided back to go to a church, if it was 1,000 members or 10,000 members, I would move in the same direction. God does not will the development of spectators. And we have to move from what's occurred in the last 30 years and leaving millions of believers as watchers, as observers, as spectators, as if we're at a local theater watching. Participation, one of those big things, is the time spent in prayer in a worship service that should be the most powerful, most supernatural, most demonstrative as far as the work, hand, and interaction with God. Well, I don't have time today, but I'm going to tell you that this session four, it lends itself to all of that. So I want you to know that it does. And so we want to welcome you to the study that we're doing. It's a volume three. We're going to be here for probably 20 or so sessions. And while we're on the radio, since we're doing it in this perspective, obviously the first 10 minutes, well, that's going to be all the news and things I need to share with you and tell you. Again, if you're new, listen, there's many archives. If you go to shatterthedarkness.net and just scroll down, you're going to see where the current, right now, the sessions, the archives are going on. You're going to see past. You're going to see links to where there's hundreds and hundreds of training hours, courses, and then archives to radio, and many more things, seminars and even conference audios that we put up that we want to give out. And you keep us in your prayers and keep us in support. That's the only commercials we're going to have when it comes to this. Let's get into this tonight. Jesus of Nazareth. Now, there's the words. Here's Jesus' words. Comes out of Luke chapter 11, quote, "But if I cast out demons with the finger of God, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you." How about Mark's gospel? "Now, they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, 'What is this? What new teaching is this? With authority, he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him.'" How about Colossians chapter 2, verse 15? "And having disarmed authorities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them by the cross." Well, there's a couple others. One in 1 John, it's chapter 3, "Whoever practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning." That goes back to Ezekiel 28. The rest of the verse says this: "For this purpose the Son of God was revealed, that he might destroy the works of the devil." How about in Matthew 8? "Suddenly they cried out, saying," these are demons now speaking, right? Recorded and now in Scripture, this is what they said, quote, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time?" How about Matthew 8 on that? What does that reveal about the demonic presence, them speaking, them recognizing who Jesus of Nazareth is, and about, well, their fear, obviously, and then the comment by the demons recorded in Scripture, "Have you come here to torment us before the time?" There is a time coming, and all of that dark side knows. And they know their time is short, Revelation 12. James chapter 2, quote, "The demons also believe and tremble." Now, I like writing a few comments in the beginning on the workbook prior, and I'm just gonna read this, and then we're gonna get into the points tonight, and the prayers are up, and you can join in on the prayers for all listening. May the Spirit of God guide and illumine and direct you as you're reading and appropriating truth, and may God stretch out His hand, because we know we have many listeners who aren't even there at salvation yet. And so we pray for that today. May God stretch out His hand to save and to heal and to deliver and to minister to lives and to summon and build every believer into the powerhouse God intended you to be. Here's what I said, quote, "They have the right to influence, deceive, and take the very ground under your feet. Satan and demons have gained the rights by our sin. It's clear that the dark side just can't take what they want or possess whoever freely. They must have a legal right, a foothold, like in Ephesians 4. The sad fact is the human race has given Satan the right to rule, and it's by our sin and through that sin, and we give Satan and demons rights to influence and to use when we open even more doors, more legal rights to them. Who is the prince, the archon, the prince of the power, the domain of the air, the atmosphere above our heads? You ever read Ephesians 2? The spirit who is, let me just read it this way, the spirit who is supernaturally operative in the lost, in unsaved humanity. The very one who brought us down. The very one that led humanity into this destruction and devolution. Satan owns us, referring to the lost, when we are lost, and he can work in the lost with his purposes at times. Quote, salvation is the ground of being delivered, set free from Satan. We are set free from his ownership, rule, rights, and powers when we are born again. Look over this verse well. This is what Jesus does for us when we come to him, when we are saved, rescued, redeemed, a new birth. Titus chapter 3. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, 14. And I think it's really important, and sometimes I'm going to put in the notes and going to mention over the air, Titus chapter 3, a backdrop to go to, and how we, by this mercy of God, we've gotten saved by Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God poured out, and a new life, a new birth. And that's when the freedom, the forgiveness, and the new nature, and even the authority, all of it is poured into us at the moment of birth. Like when a baby is born, literally everything is kind of there, and when that baby begins to, you know, eat and grow and develop, and you watch over the years the learning of the motor skills and the development, because it's all there. That's part of what the rest of the New Testament's all about, for us to know what's there in our salvation, for us to appropriate, reckon it, count on it as true, because it is. Now, here in Colossians 3, and if you get a chance, write this down, look this up, memorize this tremendous, incredible insight. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 through 14, and listen to the words, and I'm going to go over just parts of this little by little. Quote, referring to Jesus, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Now listen again, Jesus has delivered us. That has the idea of being set free from a great snare, and all of a sudden we are moved from the dominion of darkness, where the rule and the rights of Satan were. We were once there. If you were lost, but now you're found, you're blind, but now you see. If you're born again, if you're a believer in Christ, you've been delivered out of darkness, out of the realm, the authority, the domain, and ownership, and rights that Satan and that whole realm had. Now here it says, and he has transferred, the idea is he has reached down deep into the roots of us, lifted us up out of the dominion of darkness, and then transferred us powerfully, I mean, over into the basileia, the kingdom of Christ, under his rule, under his protection, under his love, under his acceptance of us, giving us the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, in whom we have redemption by the blood of the Lamb, forgiveness of sins. So what a tremendous insight in Colossians 1, 13 and 14. If you're a new believer or you're a believer, right? Listen, I've been a believer over 40 years, listening to some songs about what Christ has done. And in the context of the study, man, the joy of salvation, the joy of this salvation, the realization that everything I am, everything I owe to him. Next session five, we're going to talk about the song Nothing But the Blood of Jesus. And we'll touch on the cross and the blood in the context of spiritual warfare. But you got to know that salvation is the ground that shakes the planet, per se. Shakes the totality of our life. It's the ground of our deliverance. Yes, totally forgiven. Yes, totally washed, purified. Yes, we're considered justified before God, now have peace with God, Romans 5. Yes, a new nature's been planted in, the powerful nature by which we're able to throw off any and all other aspects of the old sin nature and put on Christ and clothe ourselves in him, a new divine power dwelling in us, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. So this is, I'm going to tell you right now, I can remember the night that I got saved right here in this broadcast room, which is in a basement, by the way. I was in a basement 40 years ago plus when I got saved, when it actually occurred. Where were you when you got saved? My wife was 5 and she accepted Jesus after a church service. She told her mom she wanted to be saved. So it doesn't matter if you're outside a bar, at a home, in a church, at a crusade. How about listening live to a broadcast that tells you that nobody loves you more, nobody knows you better, nobody desires you, God in Christ, and he could save you right now. Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ can be saved right now. Delivered from the power of darkness, transferred over into the kingdom of his dear son. Every scripture verse is yours. Every promise is yours. Christ is building, and look at John 14. He's gone to prepare a place. He's coming to get us now. And you know him because the Spirit of God dwells in you. You know him because he's washing you and cleansing you and building you, and you're in a process of development. And so grow and get in, and thank you for being in the study. Thank you for listening to the broadcast live or the archives later. We know this. You could be in China. You could be in Russia. You can be in Spain, as I am here in Ohio, USA. And God, fully alive, Christ, fully right there, the living Savior. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let me read a little bit more here that I wrote. Quote, this is now God in human flesh, sinless, fully righteous, and carrying the full authority of who he is. He didn't have to gain it, acquire it, or do something for it. He owned it infinitely and eternally in his very being. He is God, Savior, Lord of all, comes in full authority over everything that is Satan, satanic, demonic, and fallen. That is why Satan sought so hard to bring him down, so Jesus would lose his status and authority and saviorhood and be defeated. But again, Jesus blew Satan out of the waters. Matthew 4. And that authority that pours forth from Jesus always has and does and always will. When you think of the person, the presence, the works, and the very words of Jesus, this is unlike anyone, anything, anywhere. Go read Isaiah 46. quote, Jesus is the only begotten and has come to reveal the Father. He's come for the primary purpose as expressed in John 3:16 and 18 or 7 through 17. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. God so loved the world. That's why he came. That's why he came to you. That's why he is hunting down the rest of humanity through his, you know, and that's what the Spirit of God is doing. It's the biggest work. It's the work of God, because he wills that none would perish. He wills that all humanity would come to the truth and be saved. So here's what it says. That saving or redemption includes dealing with the sin issue, Satan's ownership, death, and hell itself. I pray today that God will give you a great joy of salvation. I pray today, as it says in Hebrews, that we will not neglect so great a salvation. His coming includes what I say here, a whole lot more. A necessary work, a wielding. There's been times I've called it the physics of God at the cross. He is vastly superior to Satan, the infinite person and presence of God, against the corrupted, fallen, finite, who has and is and will lose everything. That's the truth. So if you're in the training course right now, you've gone over a session on truth, reality. Here we're going to talk about that scripture, the truth will set you free. God is truth. God speaks truth in his miracles, in his signs and wonders, in all that he does, all that he says, all that he is, all that he reveals. The truth, aletheia, is pouring forth. And the intrusion, it's the intrusion of the dark side in Genesis 3, where the lies and deception and everything came in. And so that it's a constant thing. As you're reading the Word of God, there's times where old lies, old things must be thrown out of our lives. Satan still loves to send demons in spiritual warfare to bring those fiery darts, involuntary feelings and involuntary thoughts to come to you and try to say, God is not what you think. God is not going to be faithful. God is not going to, you know, that's what he did in the garden, he does in personal, spiritual, oppressive warfare. That's why you got to have the armor of God on, shield of faith to extinguish all that communication, all those lies from being sent in like a fiery arrow. So when you can discern, this is a lie, so well, rebuke it and get it out of there and then appropriate truth. God is who he's always been. You read in James, he didn't change like shifting shadows. And this is Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever, all the days. Counting on God all the way, all the promises, all the words. Now I pray that right now, as you're listening, you are saved. You are born of the Spirit of God. What does that mean? Well, when you really realize God's not in you and you got sin in you and you know that it's there, Jesus died and sinless, and taking all of your sin and the world's, by the way, you can read this in 1 John 2, not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. He became the halosmos, the... And so when we receive him, we are given the gift of, it's all by God, a gift from God, by faith alone. And so we accept Christ, and when he comes into your life, forgiveness flows and purifying your life and washing you and renewing you, snapping the power and rights of the dark side, well, transferring you over to the kingdom of God. Everything changes, including your eternal destiny. That's right. The coming of the glorification involved. See, it's all included. Salvation is right now justified, saved before him. Christ in us. And the Spirit of God then in us, like Romans 8 says. And then the work of sanctification, the power of the Spirit of God, the working of God in our lives to develop us, draw us into deep relationship, teach us to bear the fruit God has designed for us to bear, and become literally a powerhouse with victory over the fallen world, victory over the old sin nature and flesh, and victory over the devil. There is great and exceeding joy in that. And we learn how to respond in the midst, but there's a battlefield, and that's part of what this session is about. And I'm going to say again, no matter how much of an expert we can become on any kind of principles of warfare, how many books we've read, anything else, please know this. Please note that Jesus is the ground, the center, the savior, the deliverer, the only expert in spiritual warfare is Jesus himself. And so in our reception and the ground of our being set free and the ground of our now under the ownership and authority and our relationship with God as Father in Christ. So it's quite different. Satan doesn't own you if you're born of the Spirit of God in Christ. And it's important to know what Satan and demons don't have on you unless you give him, you know. That doesn't mean they're not going to bring an attack or some oppression. And it doesn't mean that they, you know, temptation to open doors to them again. Now, all that stuff we'll teach and have taught along the way. But even in the context of temptation, the ground is our victory in Jesus, our being set free, and our the powerful development. And the stronger you get in your development, the greater it's going to be. That's really true. You grow, and the more you grow, the more powerful Acts. You know, look up Acts 9:22, and you can go from strength to strength, to glory to glory, and keep growing and growing. Don't ever think you're going to stop growing. And that's why every day of relationship, every day with the Word, memorizing, growing, drawing near, spending time, worship, our response to the things around us, praise and faith. Well, like Psalm 125, you know, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. God will keep building your faith like that. Be so strong. Well, tonight we want to go over also the classic case of Mark chapter 5. So that's one place I want you to go back with your scripture. I'm going to tell believers in the last 35 years of doing deliverances, we've engaged many people that have been possessed like this. What I've been trying to say for the last three decades, though, is the fact that more and more demonized individuals have come, are coming, because why? Well, the doorways, the prophetic insight that the dark side is going to beef up to the most extreme time in history, more demonic manifestation, more activity, more goals of getting into lives and eventually, you know, New World, all that. There is no ability for the Antichrist, false prophet, New World order without them. So, as we've said, that's why there's more demonized people than ever. Possession, attachment, objects, demonized objects and demonized places and demonized lyrics and words. All of this is out there. And I'm going to say again, based on biblical prophecy, more of it will come than ever in history. And I don't care if every demon and Satan himself, all of that is right in front of you. Your salvation in Christ, Christ in you, and the authority he's given you is superior to all of that. It's important to know that. So you'll hear me at times encourage you to go to Luke 10:19, when Jesus said, I have given you authority. It's a permanent possession. I have given you this, and it's right now, abiding right. And to do what with it? Well, to tread, tear up, trample on the demonic realm, and to Nike to, with great victory, overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing will harm you. So I'm just going to hold that verse, believe that verse above every experience, above every challenge. We got to believe God. We got to live in Christ, And you know that song we sing, "On Christ's solid rock I stand." Well, that's true. He's my rock, a shield, a deliverer. So why would you read about that in the Psalms? So many of the Psalms are in the context of spiritual warfare. Much of that spiritual warfare in the Old Testament manifested in nations and demonized people and demonized leaders and demonized armies, literally. Moab would be sent to come after Israel. And they would need to rely on the power of God and the covenant with God and see the hand of God work. So there's, again, we did this in session 3 on the Old Testament. A re-examination of the entire Old Testament will show you every tribe, what major and massive warfare, spiritually speaking, of the tribes, baby sacrifice, cannibalism, highly demon-infested tribes, let alone the issue of the Nephilim. From Numbers 13 on, after the flood even. So you have this major, and that's part of our need to understand. Our need to reject just a Western mindset or any philosophy that says, well, the world's all we have, and the world's all we... only what you see and hear is what's real. Well, that's a lie. That's absolutely a lie. That's not reality. And most of the planet knows that. That's why, you know, 4 or so billion plus are being drawn in and engaging the masquerading demonic presence and that agenda. And there's, you know, many hundreds of millions, I don't know the numbers, of believers as God is at work in your life. See, we're here to as God dwells in us, and I have the joy of salvation. See, I don't seek that. I have it. I want to grow. I want to learn. I want to be reminded. In all the situations, I want to come back to the throne of God, boldly before the throne of grace and mercy to find what it is I need and to listen. No matter what's going on, you get back to that in the presence. You know, that's one of the other training things we have out, the prayer mapping book, workbook. And I was using mine today where I just go through. I start preparation and worship, and then I have things. Pennsylvania has a secret.com. So I have pages and names and areas of Belleville and Big Valley and places and things. That's why I asked, is there a skeleton? Are there bones buried in the mountainside? Who knows? Tell us. There's things that the Spirit of God can reveal as you're praying for revival, praying for salvation, praying against false doctrines, praying for the rescue of highly subjected and silenced, abused individuals. That's part of the ministry. Well, obviously, it's true when it comes to the demonized. Have you read Mark 5 lately? What an incredible chapter. This is the kind of the classic. And I think it's important to understand that there is a difference. The Greek word diamonozoid is one used. So when we say possessed, the idea of demonized, but in many of the cases we've dealt with over the years, lost individuals fully possessed and owned by demons. I've never met a demon-possessed person who didn't have more than one. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, here's what it says. They went to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. When he had come out of the boat, now notice, Jesus is coming out of the boat. He just shows up. And here's what it says clearly. Listen. Immediately, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs and met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could constrain him, not even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, but he had pulled the chains apart and broken the shackles to pieces. And no one could subdue him. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, stop. After dealing with demons in people for years and decades now, they can sense when a real believer's coming. They can sense when a real believer walks in the room. Jesus we know and Paul we know, the demons know if you're a born-again believer. The presence of the living Christ and that authority and his kingdom is in you and on you. And so you literally carry into places, that's what we're supposed to do, the Savior in his presence, and that's what the clothing of the power of God, Holy Spirit on us, you know, is all about. Now, I'm going to say this over the years. There's believers, you know, just filled with the Spirit of God, doing ministry, carrying that authority. They walk into on the streets. They walk by this bar. They walk into this neighborhood. They walk into a house. They walk, and all of a sudden, the demonized person might fall to the ground. The demon might manifest, start screaming. Or somebody bring a demonized person to a really strong church, and the moment they walk in the door, the demon surfaces to start screaming and objecting. Well, I want you to know this. Here's what I believe biblically. All the fallen ones, Satan, all of the fallen angels, all the demonic realm, they all know exactly who Jesus is. Even though there's lost individuals still in the world, still trying to grapple who is Jesus. The entire, and I would say there's got to be billions of them, of the fallen ones. They all know exactly who he is. I believe, honestly, I believe this, and let me just say it's my opinion, I believe they can feel and sense and clearly know they are superior to fallen mankind. They are supernaturally more powerful beings than fallen mankind. Verse 6, Mark 5, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran up and kneeled, meaning fall to the ground before him. And listen, this is the demon cried out with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." There's a quote of a manifesting demon in a highly demon-possessed individual, Mark 5, 7. And we've seen this time after time after time. I mean, we're talking not just light level and just, you know, oppression here or something on your shoulder. We're talking now full manifestation and ownership to where the demon can look through the eyes, speak through the mouth, control the entire body. So it says, and it cried out in a loud voice. You know why? James, demons know who but they tremble. There's a shuddering of fear in them. What have you to do with me? Did Jesus say his name? Was there any declaration? Anybody announce him? They already knew. They knew exactly. Satan knows exactly when he was born. That's why the entire prophecy about killing all the babies. That's why King Herod was moved. That's why there was such an attempt, look at Romans 12, to get rid of him, to devour him. But again, just, you know, that God in Christ just literally blowing the devil out of the waters, and I say that meaning that God just triumphed over him. That's the word we should use, triumph. I'll use it right out of Scripture here in a moment. "I adjure you by God," the demon said, "do not torment me." For Jesus said and was saying to him, "Ekbalo, ekbalo," ek is the word, "come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then he asked him, "What is your name?" Jesus did. He answered, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged Jesus repeatedly not to send them away out of the country. Now there was a great herd of pigs, and I'm not going to go over all of this, but I'm going to tell you that they wanted still territory. They still wanted to be some way, somehow clamped to the area. Think about the man, though. Let's stop and just think about the man. Think about this man possessed the way he was. Think about the man completely gone, in a sense, out when demons manifest completely, and if you ever actually see one manifesting, looking at you, speaking through the mouth, raging through, and many times cussing and mocking and threatening, it can look and even feel very evil and scary. That's why I always say, and I wrote in the book, the training book, Expelling Darkness. And it's just simply a definitive book about all this and how to do that. And taking, you know, knowing that you have authority to take charge immediately. Look what Jesus did. So I'm just saying, follow what Jesus did. Because later Jesus says to the disciples that sees this. See, when they first saw this, they were amazed. No one ever did this before. This is not how it happened in the Old Testament. It's not how it occurred back in the Old Testament days. Now he arrives, and he, by his very presence, is forcing an outing of, well, it seems there are very many people demonized in the area. Don't forget the Old Testament just packed and ongoing, and it's the world we live in, and the Western rationalism was always wrong. You know, it's vital that we understand that we're to discard fault theologies, theologies that eliminate portions of Scripture, negate or nullify areas of Scripture, or inexperienced teachers and leaders who, will, if they don't know how to win souls, how are they going to teach? If they don't know how to pray for healing, what are they going to do in training the church? If they don't do any deliverances, which every minister worth anything, it should be the norm. The norm is clothed with power in relationship to Christ, in obedience to the word of God, going forward as the victors, as the empowered God with us. Seeing people get saved left and right, and then healed. And then when, and in every case, demons show up, dealing with them. That's just how it's done. No matter where on, and I'm just saying right now, in the last three decades, no question, it's all rising as, and each decade, it's just tripled and quadrupled and so forth. And I'm going to tell you right now, in the next couple of years, as we're here still, most likely, it might not be, but another, you know, I don't know how long. I just know the longer we are here, the more possessed people, the more demonized and demon work. Again, as Scripture, God gives us a heads up. More than ever in history, collectively. So who's going to be the ones to be able to say, what is this? Or the spirits that want to masquerade and play games and say they're aliens and say they're people and say they are ascended masters. Who's going to be the ones with God-given Holy Spirit discernment and then with authority when demons manifest? We should be teaching all of our young people this. We live in a supernatural world. We live as believers, God dwelling in us, Spirit of God in us, prayer before the throne. Satan is at work. Demons are at work. Big clash spiritually. Satan doesn't want anybody saved. He wants to steal the word of God away so that they can't be saved. Well, I'm going to give you five things. Maybe six here, five particular things anyway, concerning this in Mark 5. Number one, the demonic subjugation of a man or woman. I've seen it in teenagers and adults where whatever the doorways were, there's many, and even in generational with mothers and fathers who are Satanists or witches or masons or whatever. But when we're not talking just influence, not just oppression, not just some influence around us, but I mean absolute demonic demonization, diamonizoid, possession. The man was not just, I mean, possession means subjugated, owned. He was not in control. Now, the bloodletting can be, as some bloodletting is today, to release pain and focus away and things like that. But many times, bloodletting is all about to draw more demons. For whatever reasons, demons love fresh blood in rituals and seem to attach to it. Maybe the crystals, the salt that's there, there's physics to it. But blood has a lot to do with it. In the Old Testament, now in the world that we're living with, satanic ritual abuse everywhere, and the rise of it, well, whether you know this or not, I believe personally, more ritual human sacrifice has been going on in the last number of decades underground, just like Ezekiel chapter 8, than ever in history. And it's all about drawing the powers, getting them over here. They can't come here. They can't work here. They can't help fulfill satanic agenda without getting doorways in. And so blood is in literally ritual blood in a ritual. That's number one. Well, this guy is cutting himself. He's howling out. He's naked. He's living among the tombs. Not somebody you want to meet for a date. Not somebody you want to have work on your house. Couldn't do any of that. Utterly incapacitated as a human being. Utterly taken over and used. Even notice the super strength. Chains didn't bind him. So drugs in the psychological sense. I mean, there's things that can deaden the body and keep anybody, anything and anybody using the body. You can drug up the body so much it just sits there like a lump. But in this level of demonization. And as you look through the gospel and look through the gospel of Mark, there's children that were demonized, there's adults that were demonized, there's individuals in the book of Acts as they're evangelizing. Anybody evangelizing in the power of God today, anywhere, if you're out evangelizing, I can guarantee you, you're going to meet folks that have difficulty with demons and demons around them and or possessed individuals out there. So subjugated. Notice a few things. He couldn't save himself, and no one could help him, nor could they bind him. He was a danger to himself and others. He was subjugated, and that's why I want to bring in 1 John 3:8. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy Satan's work, so that when we get saved, we are lifted up out of the domain of darkness. So when Jesus would command, ek balo, or ek, get out of the man, get out, that's the only way to get free. A superior, and I mean hugely superior, force. So much so the demon knew his approach. So much so you can call it spiritual radar, they knew. And they knew exactly who he was. And they fell to the ground, and they feared, and they worried about torment. And there's a lot of things they knew. Well, we read in the story, legion, there's many, some suggesting that, well, there might be 144,000. Now, we've met many individuals. I can say that almost all of the possessed, all the demonized individuals I've ever met had more than one. And sometimes there are some that want to try to stay and play games. You got to command everything out, every demon out, all of them out until the person is cleared completely. Again, see the book, Expelling Darkness. Number three, this is possession or demonizoid or just simply demonization. Where a demon gets in so far in a lost person, so far that body, soul, and mind, and will, all of it is taken over, and there's an ownership. In that case, there is no self-deliverance. There's no way to get out of that, barring Jesus, barring his arrival. So this is what I love about the Savior comes. What did he come? Preach the good news, right? What else? Heal the brokenhearted? Setting captives free? Was this man a captive? I believe there are demonized people in psych wards and prisons and apartments and in places and more coming. Even in concerts. Good place to evangelize at a rock and roll concert where maybe the rock and rollers are spitting out lyrics about Satan and whatever else. Obviously, there's going to be spiritual stuff going on in the atmosphere of that concert. Especially if it's like Slayer and others. And there's far worse than that. They have a song called Spill the Blood on their South of Heaven album, inviting individuals. Well, more of that than ever now. Well, point four, they saw or sensed Jesus from a distance. We already said that. Point five, the arrival of Jesus. Here's what it means. A, the demons knew, and they still know who Jesus is right now. B, it was very clear it was a power encounter. God in human flesh encountering a human being completely taken over by a demonic with multiple demons on the inside as a stronghold. Point C, the demons were terrified. D, the demons begged. E, the demons were powerless to stop Jesus. F, the demons could talk. G, the demons sought a doorway out. They wanted to go to the pigs at least. And that became a destructive thing. And H, the demons were subject to Jesus' command. They had to obey. Now listen, this is why I encourage you in reading the gospel and looking over the gospel of Mark in this particular session. As you listen to this today, I encourage you to go in deeply to the book of Gospel of Mark. It's astounding gospel. Think of his arrival. Think of his person. Think of his presence. Think of his works. Think of his words. And because I don't want to take from you, I'm going to give you just half of session four right now. And then we're going to do a part B of session four tomorrow. So there are going to be two MP3s for this. Listen, as you're listening live all over the world even, I want you to know this great Savior loves you. You can come to Him right now. He summons you right now. He wants you to come right this moment and find Him as Savior, as Lord, as God of heaven and earth. It's vital that all of us that are in the Word, that are born again, just as God sent Jesus into the world to seek and to save that which is lost, we're sent to the highways and the byways. And I can guarantee you this. I remember walking home from a workout spot, coming over a walk bridge. There's a girl, a bunch of people drinking and cussing and making fun. And I started to witness to them, and they just cussed all the more. And then as I was walking away, one of them ran after me. I thought they came to hurt me, harm me, attack me. I turned around. There's a girl. Her makeup is just going all down all over her face because of the tears. You know what she said to me? I was praying last night that God would send somebody to me to get me out of all this stuff I'm into. We led that girl to Christ. We led her to Jesus, delivered from sin and its deadly effects in life. Right now, Jesus will save you. May He save you. Come to Him. Accept Him. Renounce all sin. Lord Jesus, say it. I believe in You. I accept You. I turn to You. By faith alone, I accept You into my life. I accept Your Spirit coming into my life. And I turn to You and give You my life completely. I renounce sin and Satan and all the dark stuff and all the things. I'm repenting of and turning away from all of that. And I'm accepting You, Lord Jesus, right now. Let us know. On our website, you scroll down a bit to the left, there's some good MP3s about for the newly saved. Love you tonight. Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. Keep everything in prayer. Praying for revival, praying for tens of millions to come to Christ, praying for the church to be lit up by that powerful presence of God. We're all doing that. Keep us in your prayers. Thank you for keeping us in support. We love you for that. Russ Dizzer says, good night.
That your baby boy has walked where angels trod. When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. Oh Mary, did you know? The blind will see.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day move?